You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
Because we got some Holy Spirit fire coming to the pulpit here this morning. If you want to call this metal thing a pulpit, whatever you want to call it. But man, we got some African-American season prophetic fire coming. Mama Verna, Prophetess Verna Brookins, would you give her some honor that is due? God, I thank you for the fire that you have put Verna in and through over decades now for such a time as this. Lord, we honor her and we honor that fire for this sent word you have for this morning. A sent word in Jesus' name. So Bridge Metro West, get your notebooks out, get your iPads out, get your iPhones or your Androids, if that's what you do, and get ready to take some notes because we're diving deep today. In Jesus' name, come on, Verna.
Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to break up some ground in here today. We are going to crush some cement in here today. We are going to set freedom in here today. You are going to walk out in freedom. You're going to walk out into this year with a force, with a power, and a determination to plow the ground that is around you and to release and set others free. I'm going to share a short testimony. I was going to do it in the end, but the unction is right now. The end of last year marked a breaking of cement for me. And taking the hand off of a pause button that Sidney Jacobs said, pause. A lot of Christians had received a touch like a red button that paused you. You are standing still. You're uncomfortable. You've gone through. And what God did for me, he's gonna do for you today. Because for 2 years plus, I have been stuck. Was stuck. Because now I am free. And as I laid hands today on these people, I heard a cracking of cement. I heard a release that you will walk in freedom and lightness. To move, I feel like dancing this morning. Woo! Since the first of the year, I have been about to burst. And you are gonna burst this morning. You are going to release all of the encrustment of cement. And because I didn't stop, but I slowed down, I was weighted down because of the environment. Do you know you can be healthy in your body, physically, and you can have everything going for you? And the environment will affect you. We think of the smoke and the pollution that's in the air. But let me tell you what was in the air for Verna. The nasty elections, the political arena, the rioting on the streets, the upheaval in the classrooms, the upheaval in the sports. The upheaval that present itself in this land, not in just the United States, but the pandemic took us globally. The whole world was affected. Every part of the world was affected. The pandemic. And I loved it when Natalie said, Bridge is a no zone for the pandemic. Hey. She came against it. But because I was so weighted down with the news, with the internet, everywhere I turned, it was heaviness. It was a plowing through. I didn't even realize I was being encased in cement. But I didn't want to bring a word, even though God was trying to give me words to release. I was stuck. I didn't want to speak and bring a message. I was stuck. I love the Lord. There is nothing that will make me go back on God. Ever since at 11 years old, I accepted him in my life. I have had nothing that would question my relationship with God and my belief in who he is. But let me tell you, with all of that sickness, I had two deaths in my family. My sister, who I was so close to, she was like a mother, even though she was a baby. Because of her stature and her relationship in God, I could go to her and we could pray each other through. And she died. My brother-in-law, my husband's brother, who I don't like to say it now, it's on live stream. He was my favorite brother-in-law. He was not my brother-in-law. He was my brother. We lost him to COVID. There was hurt. There was disappointment. And I was being stuck and didn't even realize it. It was uncomfortable. I cried a lot. But one thing I did know, when Cheyenne, our Papa Shay, came here, and I didn't want to see him. I had a good excuse. I can't drive at night. So I told Pastor Paul, I said, I can't drive at night, so I won't be coming at night. He said, oh, I sent a car for you. I said, God, you got some nerve. You just blew my perfect excuse out of the water. Don't play with God. He got your answer before you even form your excuse. And so I saw Papa Shay walk in, and we embraced. And I felt a cracking. And see, the devil is like that. He wanted to keep me from that release. And through that whole weekend, the concrete shattered around me. And I felt freedom again. So whoever this morning, I don't care if it's sickness, I don't care what you're battling with, I don't care what it is. I want you to release it this morning. Like I did. And Natalie is a force. She came to me and she said, how are you doing? But see, she can look right through me. And she just fell on her knees and went before God in prayer and fasting for me. Coming up, because she could see. When you're in relationship with people, you can feel their pain. You can feel their cry. And she said later, she said, oh, I knew I had to war in the spirit. And when Natalie started warring in the spirit, you better watch out. I serve notice on every demon who come against Natalie. So to have someone like that praying for you. But my sister told me, she passed in August. She told me in June. I said, you know, I haven't been back to church yet. I have a little fear. She said, Verna, it's time to come out of the cave. Yeah. She was talking about how the prophet hid in the cave. And he had given up and he just didn't want to come out and face anything. I think it was Elijah, was it? But 45 people came to him for him to preach and teach them. See, you can't hide from God. But one thing I did know, I still love God. And there wasn't a demon in hell that was going to stop me from serving him. But we can get stuck and we stop doing what God has called us to do. See, there are a lot of gifts in here today and callings that you were called to do things for God. Amen. And you have allowed the concrete to slow your steps down. You have allowed sickness to give you an excuse. You have allowed, ooh, that spirit of offense, I hate it with a passion. Yes. I hate offense. There are so many that have the spirit of offense operating in your life that you're missing out on what God has for you. Amen. There was a time when I would let what everybody said to me hurt me. If you passed by me and didn't speak, that would hurt me. But now I say it, don't speak. Talk all you want to. Because I'm here to serve God. And because I was stuck and I'm free today. And do you know God gave me a new injection, an added injection at the beginning and the end of last year and the beginning of this year? And that's when he said, before I heard anyone else say, a double portion, Verna. I'm going to give you double. And I remember the prophet said in Detroit once, I was running revival for my uncle at his church. And this prophet was from California. He had never seen me, and he called me up and he said, your mother has passed, but you received her anointing. And your uncle here, when he passed, you will receive his anointing. And then God is saying, and you got your own anointing that I gave you. And I believe I got the triple this January. I feel like bursting. I woke up this morning at 3 o'clock. Whoa. Couldn't go back to sleep. I got mad with God. I said, I got to bring the message today. Don't you know I need my sleep? I said, well, after an hour. And I got up and went in my prayer room, which is my office. I said, well, it's you, God. If I fall asleep, if I'm sluggish and can't do anything, it's you. Because you can let me go back to sleep and you won't. I said, so you renew me. You give me the strength, because I had already seen myself in this service that we have now. That's one thing God is doing this year. I see he wake me up at night and show me what is happening. Like that day we had the prophetic service. I saw everybody I was prophesying to. Every word. And so last night, I had purpose in my spirit to give the testimony at the end. But I have a decree at the end that we are going to shout over. And so he has given me something for about everybody in this room. But it has to be his timing. But this morning, oh, Deb is leaving. Water, water, water. Oh, water. Oh. Okay. Debbie, stand up. See, another thing God gave me this year, I brought a little separate journal. Thank you. Open it for me. And it, he said, take this book, and whenever I give you something for a person, write it down. Some will be in part, But when you get the full message, then you deliver it. So I'm taking notes on all of you.
Awesome.
So Debbie, the Lord would say, I'm moving you to a different level, a new level. I am increasing you like you take a balloon and it's flat, but you start blowing in it. And I saw this balloon going to its fullest strength, big. It kept increasing. He said, that's what I'm doing to my Debbie. Debbie, God says he's going to bring you forth in a new way. 22 is for you. He wants you to embrace it because double, he said, no, with Deb, I'm going to triple it. I'm going to quadruple it. Amen. And she is going to burst because I'm bringing you forward. I want you to have lunch or tea with Natalie and find out what she said when she told me, I'm behind the scenes person. I said, the Lord would say, and he's saying to Deb, I'm bringing you to the main street with a big light out front. This is Debbie. I know the things that I put in you as a child. I know your desires. I see your heart. And what I'm going to bring forward will bless my kingdom and will bless this house and will show the future of the work in New England that you will be a part of along with Paul. And I still see Riley as this little child walk. He is grown and a young man now, but God shows me with him, and that's togetherness and that mothering that you have mothered him with. He's still receiving that mothering from the little child. He said, but what I'm gonna wash you with and reclothe you with, you will be a new creature for the second, third, and fourth time. He said, so I am putting you on a train and then to the airplane. And when you walk into the airplane, I want you to look around and stop right there because I'm putting you in first class with big comfortable seats. And then he is going to be with you on every stop, every layover. He is going to do the guiding and the directing. Amen. So gear up and get ready to move with God, says the Lord. I am so honored to be a part of the fast that we are starting on Tuesday because Esther, Mordecai, and Haman, what was happening in the land, there was a plan out by Haman to destroy Esther and her people. But because she called for a fast and they turned their plates down and went before the Lord, whoo, I could just burst thinking about the plan that the enemy had. The enemy received the plan. He was hung on his own gallop that he had planned to hang Mordecai on. And so everything in your life that is planned by the enemy, turn the tide on the enemy. If it's sickness, if it's relationships, if it's a job, whatever it is, turn the plan back on the enemy, what he had, because God is working it for your good. Amen. And so, I think it was several years ago when I brought a message on total commitment. And Pastor Paul said, "You sure you don't have a second or a third on that?" I said, "Nope." He said, "Really?" I said, "Nope." I said, "When God give it to me, I'll bring it." So I'm bringing part two today, and it is the power of commitment. I feel the power when I say the power and then commitment, because there's no relationship with God without a commitment. And one of my favorite verses in the Word. Ooh, I got ahead of myself. I didn't even pray over the Word. Father, I just thank you right now for what you have imparted into me to give to your people today. I ask you to bless it, to enlighten it for those to receive, and for you to work in each and every person the Word to work in their life and their situation. In Jesus' name. Amen. But Proverbs 3:6, I love the Living Bible translation. It tickles me when I read it. Everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. You can't be fat. Putting God first in everything, he will crown all of your efforts with success. And my mother said it to me when I was 11 years old and I accepted Christ that night. And she said, "Verna, I know you're thinking about college. You have all these plans. But honey, I want you to take this scripture, eat it, keep it before you, take it and work it. Putting God first will crown you with success. Not the school you went to or going to, not the house you may buy, not the car you may drive, not the title you may have at work. God bless me to be successful in the corporate world. Work there and retired at 55. God had told me when I was 30 by a prophet, I will retire at 55 to do God's work. I looked at him and I said, you don't get the full benefits until you're 65. I can't walk out of there with 55. But my company gave an early retirement program, graduated, increased years. I retired as if I was 65 with all the benefits of 65. And I haven't had to work since. Because I acknowledge God first in everything. And he crowned my efforts with success. And he can do that for you. What are we talking about when we say power of commitment? Commitment is an agreement that you make and agree to do something. Whatever it is, I made a commitment to Christ that I'm going to live for you. Not taking the word that I like and leaving the other part unnoticed, unread, unthought of. Not going to work it. But the whole word, taking it, that part I wasn't too cool about, and the part that I liked, and came up and still working to come up to that I wished I was already there. But everything that I know in the revelation that I receive, I listen to Sydney Jacobs a lot. What's her name in Florida? Jennifer LeClaire. And oh, my good friend, Jane Hammond. Oof. As they would say, they rocked my boat with the word. I receive revelation when I listen to it. And so during these shut-ins and the pandemic, I have had the time to take a lot of classes, to listen to a lot of CDs, and read a lot of books. And I didn't know that was my hold on to get out of the stuck position I was in. And you may think because you are in a stuck position or you're beginning to feel you're getting stuck because you can't move like you used to. And I don't mean physically, I mean in every way. But whatever it is, you need to find it. And it's almost like swimming to get to shore. And so everything you do, you put God first, and you cannot go wrong. But Matthew 6:33 says it this way. Seek the kingdom of God first, and he will give you everything you need. What guidelines we have. What instructions we have. What directions we have from God to live through this turbulent time, to live through a virus and the pandemic that affects the whole world. The number of people died. I had to stop looking at TV. Stop watching the news. I couldn't bear to see the body bags in New York where they had transfer trucks, those long trucks lined up, and were just bringing them out and putting them in there like you packing a, just putting bodies in there. That's how fast they were dying. A lot of relatives, a lot of loved ones you lost. You have to get over that. You have to walk through it. The ache is horrible. It's been 5 months since I lost my sister. I still miss her, but I have the memories. But I cannot get stuck in death because she wouldn't want me to, and God wouldn't want me to. And so when we have him first, our perspectives are different. We see things differently. Because you don't see yourself as handling this. I'm reminded of the word that God gave me for Jeff and said, you've been eating the apple and it was sweet and it was good. But I'm giving you the whole bowl of fruit in 2022. From one apple to grapes, bananas, pears, all of the fruit he has before him. And God is saying, Jennifer, I have a bowl of increase for you. I have a sweetness of the taste of the fruit that you will taste and know it is of me. I tasted of the Lord and it was good. And he says, forget you. You're on the top of my list. The Lord would say, I'm here, Jennifer. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I was taught by Sidney Jacobs, when you hear a word, you receive it for you and you work that word. Natalie has taught about working a word. Some people get a word and they just sit with it and they waiting for the rain to just shower down on them with the word. You need to take now the class session on working the word of God. So you got a word. So what do? You just smile and say, oh, that was good. You got to work the word. And Natalie takes everything apart and go through it like she is a physician working on the brain and asking and praying to God about that word. So when you put God first, everything falls in order. I really thought I loved my husband. when I met him before we were married. And then after we got married, it just seems like, oh, I didn't know I could love a person so much. But when God dealt with me in that scripture my mother had really spoke so forcefully about putting God first, I said, oh, Lord, don't let me put any man, anything, any child. And I love my two daughters. I would give my life for both of those girls right now. But I can't put them first. I can't put my husband first. And when I could deal with that and understood that, there was like a clean love. That's the only way I can describe it. I had for my husband and my children because I knew who was first. God was first. I acknowledged him in all my ways to allow him to direct my steps, my path, where I would know where I'm going. And if I didn't know where I was going, I was safe with the Father directing me. And I could rest in that. And Diane, you're resting in the Lord. And he is bringing you through his promises, his word. And you know him for yourself. But he said, lean on me and not to your understanding, but lean on me because I'm the one taking you through. And guess what he said? And you are coming through. And so let's look at the word power. The capacity or the ability to influence the behavior of others or events in your life. You have the power, you have the strength and the knowledge to direct things that will come your way and will affect your life because you have the power of commitment. You are committed to God. You gave him your life. You studied his word. You met him in his presence in your prayer. You know him. It's like my mother would say, oh, I know too much about God to doubt him now. Yeah. Oh, I should have doubted him long ago because I know too much about him now. Yeah. That song, I don't know if you all knew it, but I know too much about him. You can't doubt him now. You can't make me doubt him. You can't make me doubt God. I don't care what's coming through, what's coming by. I know who he is and my relationship with him. Amen. And so you are coming through. Amen. With the only person who have the assurance to bring you through. You have that power to direct that. You have the ability to fulfill or keep your promise to God because you have a commitment. You have committed yourself. You are committing yourself to prayer this week. Yeah. These 21 days, right? Yep. I feel like I'm coming out of that 21 day fast with another powerful injection. Yes. So I'll say to you, you haven't seen nothing yet. Yeah. And I want you to say it, whatever it is this morning, whatever you're crying out to God for, you're asking God for, you look to come through it in victory at the end of 21 days. Why? Because you're going to do, and I think Natalie has some guidelines for the fast. If not, read Esther. I reread that and reread it. And I got a double injection about what I was going to get from the fast. A whole people, group of people, race of people was spared because of the fast and the prayer. Now, what is it in your life, one person, your family, that you want to destroy? The fast that they went on, they destroyed the enemy plan. He had a plan. He even went as far as building the platform with a hanging thing there to hang Mordecai. I mean, he had everything ready. Guess what? He was hung on the same thing he had built. So whatever it is in your life, hang that sickness on that scaffold and choke life out of the sickness. Choke life out of that job that you've been looking for. If God closes one door, I just think it's because he's opening a bigger door, a greater door, a more powerful door. My daughter has 2 more years on her contract in Baltimore. And she's talking to God now as if she's walking off next year. But she says, Mama, I know where I'm going. I said, oh, where? You've heard? She said, oh, no, because God is doing the leading. So my trust in him and faith in him, I know where I'm going to end up, where he has plans for me. She's not worried about, oh, where I'm going. What am I going to do? No. She has acknowledged God. Acknowledge him in your situation today. Yes. Let him do the directing. You don't have to lay awake at night. Unless God wake you up for prayer or whatever. Then you stay awake and listen to what he's saying. But I want to stress this morning that we as children of God, this scripture, it's another one. Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion in your heart, with all of the energy of being, your being, and with every thought that is within you. This is the great and supreme commandment. You know why he said that? Because with this, you receive the power to commit. You have the want to commit. You have the need to commit. God told me once, Freddie, you can't sit on the sideline finding fault with everybody. Why don't you get up and go about my work? But that's how spirit of offense come in, when you start finding fault with everybody. We're talking about the power of commitment. You have the power to do what God has asked you to do. I think I shared with you last time the 3 things under commitment. Commit your time, commit your talent, which I call gifts, and commit your tithes, which I could call your resources. You will have the ability to do it without struggle. You won't have an excuse, like I tried to have an excuse not to come to the meeting. God just blew it away, and they sent a car for me. So what can you excuse after that? Well, I really don't feel like it. Then they'll come up and say, well, we'll check you out with urgent care and see if you're okay. So, if knowing Pastor Paul, he probably would have done that. Well, what's wrong? We'll check out urgent care and see what's going on. God just blow your excuses out of the water. So don't try to come up with them. So he says, with every fiber of your being, with every facet of our lives. Do you know if you can digest that, you don't have excuses anymore? You don't have excuses because somebody looked at you the wrong way. I told God one time, she didn't even see me. She just passed right by me. He said, you don't know what was on her mind, what she was dealing with. But you're so quick to have an excuse that you don't allow yourself to be in the other person's place. You don't know what that person is going through. You don't know what happened this morning, why they didn't see you. So don't be so quick like I did when I first got saved. If somebody could look at me wrong, and they don't like me. What does that have to do with it? Nothing. But now you all have power to commit because Christ is in your life. You're his child. You know what his word says. It's easy to commit. Don't say, oh, it's so hard. I asked God this year, I said, my husband and I get an allowance every week, a month, whatever you call it. And God said, look at your allowance. You haven't asked me how you want to increase in your giving this year. See, we don't think of that. We think if we just pay tithes, oh, I'm fine. I keep the curse away. I'm paying tithes. But don't you want the blessings to start with all of the other money you give? That open up blessing. The tithes keep the curse away. So you got the curse, can't touch you, but you're struggling in every other way. And what my mother used to say, tithes, that's just what you are robbing him if you don't. So you know you're not going to go out and rob a bank. Why would you rob God? So that's just what, so when people think like I did, if you just tithe, you are doing wonderful. But let me tell you where the blessings come. God told me that, what was the man's name that was here, lost his leg in missions? And God said, I want you to sow heavily monthly from your allowance. You are at home shut in. You're not going out to lunch spending it. You're not going getting your hair done every week. You're not buying any clothes. So I want you to really sow into his ministry. I said, well, I sow into missions at the bridge and we support him. He said, I know that. I want you to support him directly. I dare you to ask God, what else can I do for you? Yes. See, we don't ask him because we don't want to hear it. We are satisfied. But I said, God, what else can I do? I'm always praying for my grandkids. See, I don't tell you all the things. I sow into my grandkids. I sow into my children. I sow into Natalie. She spoke. Every time she speaks, God told me just to sow into her ministry. Give her a love offering. I don't know if you all think that way or you hear God that way. I got a feeling God is speaking, but you're not hearing. So you want to see an increase? You want to see more power? You want to see your family? Things in your family that you are praying for? I was praying for one of my granddaughters. She just didn't like the large classes in public school. And I told my daughter, I said, the Lord is saying to put her in a private school. She said, really, Mom? Lewis and I have been praying, and you know, we kind of think that way. I said, do it. You don't need a year to pray over that. I said, and all the money you're making, if you can't find the money, I'll give it to you. But you're making enough to send all of them to private school. But now, if you're not going to do it and God showed it to me, I'll do it. Boy, did she thrive. She's been there 3 years. She is knocking down doors, turning over tables. All the extracurriculum. She was going to travel abroad, but because of the pandemic, the trip was canceled. She changed overnight. She was in a classroom of 12 people from 32. Just the noise would get me going. But I looked for God. I looked to him for what I should be doing. My husband have a ministry. The three churches we've been in. The kids, when they make honor roll, he reward them with the cash donation. And one kid came up, had all A's, but he had zero or whatever the worst is in conduct. And my husband said, do you think I'm giving you some money for you? He said, if I was working now in human resources and hiring you, and you got all A's, but they write down there your conduct, you can't get along with people, You're always bringing uproar in the situation. You're just a bad person to be around. He said, I wouldn't hire you. I don't care how many A's you got. You could be Phi Beta Kappa. That little kid looked at my husband and said, what? He said, when you bring back an A in conduct, then I'll reward you. Do you know that kid for the next 5 years got A's and everything and A in conduct? But it's your commitment. What is your commitment to today? But if it's to Christ, if it's to the Lord, you are going to look at his word. You are going to be in his presence, always seeking what he is saying to you. See, the word said God is always speaking. So that means if we're not hearing him, we are not in the position to hear. Because he's always speaking. So I said, let me quiet myself. God, I got to hear you. However you speak, I want to hear you. And if you tell me, like he told me one Sunday, this was 20 years ago in a church, I looked at that lady, he said, her light bill is due tomorrow. And she got up this morning at 4 o'clock praying. So I want you to give her $157. I said, God, all I got in my pocketbook is $160 for my lunch next week. He said, oh, you got $160, go out with the girls for lunch next week. And her power needs to be kept on. And I walked up to her and I said, the Lord just told me to give this to you. And she looked down and she started crying. She said, God, you really do answer prayers. She didn't tell anybody. She just told God in prayer. But I was in the position to hear God because I'm always asking him, what can I do? What can I do to further your kingdom, to show your people that you are real and that your word is not just the word, it is real. Your promises, we can count on them. They never go out and return void. They accomplish what they went out to accomplish before they return. And so I want you this morning, I was looking at the time, I don't know what time I got up, but I do want you to remember in this prayer, in this time of fasting and praying, remember what it is that you want to break free from. You might not even realize that you are in bondage over it, because we hate to use the word bondage. I think that's why God gave me the word stuck and gave Sidney the word pause. You know, if you're on pause, nothing is going on. You're just stuck. But God told me stuck. And so ask God this morning, where are you? Are you on pause button? Are you stuck? Are you finding fault with everything? First, look at yourself. That's what I had to do. I had to look at myself and say, Lord, help me, show me where I am going wrong, what I need to do. Stop letting me find fault with everybody else in every situation. But look at me first. So there's healing that's going to take place during this fast. There's great revelation that will be released. There is joy that will come from prayers answered that you have been praying for years. I speak it now in the name of Jesus, that prayers are being released from heaven with answers that your people are waiting for. There's an answer from God that you're going to receive during this fast. And I received and saw a decree that, what was her name? Jane Hammond. And I have a copy for you. He's going to put it on the screen. But I have some extra copies I Xeroxed on my little printer at home, because I wanted to make sure you could walk out of here with a printed copy. So I'm asking families to only take one, because I think there are 50 back there. But if there are people that don't get one, I'll have extra copies next Sunday back there on the table. But I want you to take that decree, and I want you to read it before God and to say it before God as if you know that through this decree, the strength is coming into your situation to believe God for your breakthrough. Is it on the screen now? Okay, they are getting ready to put it up there. It's a decree for a breakthrough and a double portion. And we talked about a double portion the end of the first of this year. And I want everyone, I want you to stand when you read this. You're going to get a copy, Mrs., so you don't have to take the picture. You're going to get a printed copy. Just like this. You'll have your own copy.
Perfect, perfect.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everyone on the screen, I decree this will be a double portion year. I receive a new mantle for this new day. I take off the old mantle of limitation and fear, and instead I activate courage to step into the supernatural in a brand new way. I will stay focused to receive fresh dunamis power from the Holy Spirit within me. I stir up my most holy faith. Miracles are my portion. Signs and wonders are my way of life. I receive greater authority to represent you and your kingdom to the world around me. I receive my double portion of blessings and increase in every area. This will be my breakthrough year in 22. Now shout it out as if you believe it and you're looking for it. You are receiving it this year, a breakthrough in every area. The Lord will say, here at the Bridge, we will be examples of what it means to have commitment to God and to receive and experience His blessings. He said, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. And I'm doing it now, says the Lord. Throw your hands up and thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now act like you believe it. Thank Him. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. So the copies are back there on the desk. And you can pick up your copy at the end. That's why it's on the screen. So you can be seated. I just want you to know that if I can receive a breakthrough that almost, well, did cripple me and stopped me, that God is no respecter person. He's saying, I'm here for you. I did it for Verna, and I'll do it for you. Bodies are going to be healed. There's deliverance. There's great breakthrough. There are going to be their kids graduating this year. You're going to get toll packages from the university. You're going to open those letters and say, God, thank you. And it's because you did the work and your parents were praying. And God is giving you the breakthrough. So whatever you're looking for this year, walk upright and expect it, because I respect and expect everything that I know God is going to do for me. I believe it. As my mother would say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. So I want you to settle it this morning. That God's word said it. I'm doing my part. I'm believing it. Now that settles it. I can walk away. I can walk in peace and enjoy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay.
Would you give Verna a hand? A real hand. Come on.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.